Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a tremendous blessing that was, especially concerning the message of song. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid a sin debt for us on the cross of Calvary. And we studied that in our Sunday morning Sunday school. And He's resurrected from the grave, and He's at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And so when we die a physical death, to be absent from the body because of what Jesus has done is allowing us now to be present with the Lord. And we have access into the very presence of God right now during this dispensation. When we die, our spirit, which is eternal, goes immediately to be with the Lord in heaven. What a tremendous blessing that is. But you have to receive the gift that Jesus Christ offers, and that's eternal salvation through His shed blood. What a blessing. Thank you for that special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Now, it's the Old Testament. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. And if you need to look in the front of your Bible to figure out what page it's on, go ahead and do that. But Jonah, a tremendous book of the Old Testament. And Jonah is a tremendous character of the Old Testament, a prophet of God's. And many of us, even the secular world, have heard of Jonah and the whale. All right. And so it's something that God has preserved for us so we might learn from it. I want you to go to chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. There's 10 verses here. We're going to be reading all 10 verses. And this is Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jonah in the belly of the whale. The message I want to preach to you this morning is what to do when you find yourself in the belly of a whale. And so stand with me this morning and let's read this together. This is what we find in Jonah in the belly of a whale. The Bible says in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, it is a tremendous blessing to be in church today. And I thank You for each one that's here. And Lord, only You know how it came to pass that they would be here this morning. But You knew who was going to be here before we even knew that we were coming. And as we've assembled here, we've already been blessed by Your presence. We've been blessed by the music. And now as we open up Your precious Word, Lord, I pray that You would just speak to each and every one of us. I ask once again, God, that You would use me as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What to do when you find yourself in the belly of a whale? Now, quite honestly, how many think that this would be a possibility today? Anybody believe they're going to find themselves in the belly of a whale and wondering what to do? Well, as I studied the Bible, as far as I know, in the history of humanity, I mean, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. In the history of humanity, it's only happened to one man. Now, I've heard of them taking out body parts of humans out of sharks. Amen? And I don't know, if you're next to the ocean, if you're going on some kind of vacation, you might end up having a body part inside of a shark's belly. But the idea of you being alive inside the belly of a whale, in all of human history, as far as I know, there's only been one occasion. Now, but God recorded this occasion for us. He's given us a book in the Old Testament. Now, we know the Old Testament and New Testament make up the full revelation of the very thoughts of God for humanity. God wants us to know His thoughts. He wants us to know everything that we can know about past, present, and future. And so He has written them down, and Almighty God has preserved His Word for us. And in the Old Testament, one whole book of the Bible has been written down and preserved to tell us about a man that found himself in the belly of a whale. Now you say, preacher, how do you know it was a whale? Well, we know that the Bible calls it here in Jonah a great fish. But then if you would look into the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus said that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So we find that Jesus Himself revealed, it's been recorded for us, that it was in the belly of the whale. Amen? So it's all right to say big fish. It's all right to say whale, if you will. But God's recorded it. But this is what I want you to understand. This was a personally designed plan by God for Jonah. Well, this was the one of a kind. There has never been another great fish or particular whale like this one. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this, that this whale and this circumstance that Jonah found himself in was a personally designed trial that God had prepared for Jonah. Now, in the New Testament, this idea of trial, let me just read to you what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith, and no doubt this would be a trial of Jonah's faith, what he believed, and the direction of life that he would go in. And so the Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth. The gold's going to perish. The trial that God might bring into our lives is there to help us with eternal values. And so he says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So whatever trial that God might personally prepare for us is worth more than all the gold this world has to offer. Because the trials that God personally prepares and designs for us has eternal rewards. It's to prepare us for eternity. And God is more interested in the eternal things than the temporal things. And so we find this idea of this prophet named Jonah in the Old Testament that's faced with this trial that God personally designed for him. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says this, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish." Now we know that he would be in there, he would have reservations inside the belly of this whale for 3 days and three nights. God says, now I'm going to prepare a trial, and so I'm going to think about everything about the trial. So inside the well, the belly of the whale, God says, I'm going to prepare this fish to be able to house a human being the size of Jonah, with the lung capacity of Jonah. And he says, I'm going to design this for to be able to sustain Jonah in the belly of this whale, this design, for 3 days and three nights. There would be enough air, enough oxygen inside of this whale. And it was a literal whale, a literal great fish that God had prepared. And God designed it for Jonah. So you see, the accommodations was exactly enough to sustain Jonah, oxygen and everything else, for 3 days. I don't think that Jonah would have eaten anything in that matter of time. I don't know that he would have wanted to eat whatever the whale had consumed that would be inside of the belly of the whale. But he would be in there, I believe, fasting, if you will, for 3 days and for three nights. But God designed it and reserved a place in the belly of this whale for Jonah for 3 days and three nights. The Bible says God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, it was not by accident that when Jonah would be cast over the outside of the ship into the great sea in the midst of a great storm, that a whale would, by accident, would just happen to be there with a mouth open to swallow up Jonah. No, you see, it was designed. And God has written it down for us to understand that God prepared this, and God designed this, and God designed it for one man. And if God designed it for Jonah, can I tell you, and if we understand that the trials of our that we go through are very precious, and they're more precious than all the gold of this world, then let me tell you that if God did it for Jonah, he will, and he does, design the very personal trials for each and every one of us. So let's learn from this. Let's start at the beginning. Go back to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. So what to do when you find yourself in the belly of a whale or in a trial that has been designed by God for you? That's every born-again believer. It might not be the belly of a well, but it will be like the belly of the well. It will be, you can put it in comparison to Jonah being the belly of the well. And what Jonah did is exactly how God would have us to respond in a personally designed trial for us. First of all, we find Jonah chapter 1, God's preserved this way for us. He says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. The first thing we look at here is Jonah was God's servant. He was one of the prophets of God. God would work through Jonah. How else do we know this? As we look in chapter 2 and verse 1, we find the Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah knew who God was, and God knew who Jonah was. And Jonah was one of God's choice servants. Jonah was one of those that had dedicated their lives to God to be able to tell others what God has to say to them. That's what a prophet was. They would speak the very words of God to others. Can I tell you, first and foremost, as we look in our lives, we must know who we are in comparison to who God is. John chapter 15, Jesus made this point. He wanted us to understand this. John chapter 15, Jesus came as God manifest in the flesh to fulfill Old Testament prophecies and to establish New Testament Christianity, to establish the New Testament church, and to bring to full revelation everything that God wants us to know about past, present, and future. It's all contained within the pages of this Bible right here. Past, present, and future things that God has written down and preserved so that we might know this. And God wants us to know who we are in relationship to who God is. The Bible says, and Jesus here, revealing this to the disciples, he said in chapter 15, and verse 15 and 16, henceforth I call you not servants. And he's talking to his servants, his apostles, his disciples. And he says, I call you not servants. He was preparing them to do the work of God, to serve God. But he says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. If you think that about a master and a servant, he's hired to do a job, he just tells them what to do without really considering that servant's thoughts on the subject. And so he says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you, now this is very important, God says, friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You didn't determine how you're going to get saved. You didn't determine whether God loves you or not. God does not base his love for you on what you do and who you are. God loves humanity because he created humanity for his good pleasure. And God loved humanity enough, even though man sinned and are born with a sin nature, he loved you enough to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, God himself, manifested in the flesh to pay a sin debt that man owed and could not pay. And so God loved you enough to send his son to die for you. You didn't determine that. God chose to do that. And so we find here, he says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth. And he says, I've chosen you. This is who you are to me. You're more than a servant. You're a friend as well. But I've got a commission for you. I have a will for your life. Once you have me as your Savior, once you have me as your Lord and God, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that this is what I've ordained you to do, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now that's important to understand that, because we are chosen to be more than servants, although we will serve, but we are chosen to be more than servants. We're chosen to be the friends of God, as Abraham was a friend of God. That means that God loves and cares for us before he commissions us. Before God is looking at what you're able to accomplish for him, whatever you're to do in this life, he wants you to know, wait a minute, first and foremost, I love you. I care for you. Matter of fact, in order for you to be reconciled to me, I don't want you to think it's by anything that you can do. It's not because of what family you were born into. It's not because of what nationality you are, what color of skin you have, what your great talents or abilities are. None of that will play into your salvation. God says, I want you to know, first of all, that I loved you because of who you are. You are my creation. I created you for my pleasure, to fellowship with me. I created you in the image of the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I created you to fellowship with me. And so once you lost that, then I wanted to send my son that he would be able to reconcile you back to me because I love you. I love humanity. It's not about your works. It's not about what you can do for God. It's about you, first of all, understanding that God loves you and he's chosen you and he wants you to choose him. He wants you to receive the free gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way a person can get saved. But once you are saved, then realize how he has commissioned you. Once you become his child, his friend, realize what you can do in serving him. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to see this. This is what I read to you a minute ago about trials. That's found in verse 7. But I want you to see verse 8, what follows that. Verse 7 says this, that the trial of your faith, your belief in God, your understanding of what God's will is for your life, that's our belief, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. He is. Verse 8. Whom having not seen. You see, we believe by faith the scriptures. We've never seen Jesus, and you never will in this physical body. We'll see him when he comes back for us. All eyes will be focused on him as we are raptured. And we see him right after physical death to be present with the Lord. We all see him face to face spiritually. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you truly have faith to know who he is, and to know that you have opportunity to love him because he first of all loved you, can I tell you that's enough to have joy unspeakable. To know that I'm God's child. To know that I've been redeemed. To know that I have an opportunity to fulfill whatever commission he gives me. I have an opportunity to serve the one that loved me, that died for me. I have the opportunity. We have one life to live. That's what a lot of people say. Listen to me. We don't not only have one life to live here in this world, we have one life to give. And if we understand we understand all things, we understand who God is, we understand the difference between temporal things and eternal things, we have the opportunity as born-again believers to serve and represent the God of creation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. And whatever he commissions us to do, listen to me, he has a plan and a purpose, and we ought to have a desire and find joy in fulfilling whatever commission he gives to us. Yeah. That's what Jonah needed to understand. What Jonah needed to understand is, God, you come to me and you commission me. Praise the Lord, I have an opportunity to represent the God of creation. I have the opportunity to preach to Nineveh. No matter what else is going on, if God says go there and preach, he should have gotten excited if he would have realized and kept in view who God is and who he was in relationship to who God is. Wow. Jonah was God's servant. The second thing we find here is that God gave Jonah an assignment. What was the assignment? Very plainly revealed. He'll give it to him twice here, but that's not what we're looking at right now. Verse 2, it says, he came to his servant. And he says, you know who I am? Because you're one of my prophets. You're one of my children. You're one of my servants. Arise. I've got a commission for you. I've got an assignment for you. I've got a will for your life. My will for your life, God says. Go to Nineveh. That great city. And cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. God says, I know that they're a wicked city. And in your mind, you think that I'd be better off just to wipe them out as I did Sodom and Gomorrah. But even though they're wicked, they're still humans, my creation, and I still have a great love for them. And I want to give them one last chance. And I want you to go for me so that they would have one last chance. Amen? You see the commission? I think he understands that. And so he says, arise, go to Nineveh. That was the commission. Every believer needs to be aware of God's will for their lives. Can I tell you, I trust that one of the reasons that you're in church this morning, in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, where we're going to take that Bible right there and try to help you to better understand it. The reason you're here is that you want to better understand it. You understand that there is a Creator God. You understand that God has a plan for not only salvation, but once you get saved, God has a plan for the rest of your life in living according to His will. God has a commission. God has an assignment. God has a plan for our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy. I love this as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, actually chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4 is what I want to read to you. As Paul was given Timothy, God's commission for Timothy's life and beyond. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Pass it down from one generation to the next. It's been passed down for some 2,000 years now. As Jesus Christ established Christianity, some 2,000 years, it's been passed down from one generation to the next, the truths of the Bible, God's commission for believers. That thou therefore endure hardness. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some things that you're going to have to endure. Endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You're part of this great spiritual army of God on planet Earth. No man that warreth, that's involved in the spiritual battles, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he hath chosen him to be a soldier, to be a part of the army of God, to be a part of those ambassadors that has been commissioned to represent Jesus Christ and the love of God to the world. Wow. See, it's the Bible is what gives, what God has given for us to know how to live our lives. And it is important how we live our lives. There's a lot of scripture, and I could go to them in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and help us understand that God says you don't have any business with doing this and doing this, but you are to be separated, you're to represent me. The Bible says that we are to be peculiar. That's not weird, that's different. We ought to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That means that people ought to look at us and see something different than they see in others that are not saved. They ought to experience something in our presence that they don't necessarily see in the presence of the lost. They see the light of Christ. They see the testimony of Christ. They hear the very words being an encouragement concerning the things of God. Listen to me. That's what God's commissioned us today to represent Him as He was doing to Jonah. A wicked world, but I love the world. Now that you know who I am and you know what it takes to be saved, I'm commissioning you to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, it's what it's given to us. Wow. So God gave the assignment. And then it's up to each one what to do with the assignment. Amen? Come on, follow with me. I think, can we identify with Jonah here? Yes, servant of God. God says, this is my assignment. You might know what the assignment, you might know what God wants you to do, but it is up to you. God does not force. That's why He has given to us a free will. It will reveal your love for God. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what would Jonah do after the assignment was given? Jonah rejected God's assignment. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Listen to me. He went the opposite direction. He rejected God's will for his life. Why? Well, a little insight to this was given in chapter 2 and verse 8. When he says in verse 8, "They that observe lying vanities." He realized how it happened. He observed or looked to lying vanities. They forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities. Can I tell you, just boiling it down, Jonah had wrong thinking. He justified somehow in his heart and his mind running away from God. I don't know, maybe he had somebody next to him saying, "Jonah, you shouldn't have to do anything that you don't feel like doing. Don't let anybody put any kind of pressure on you to live a certain way, to dress a certain way, to act a certain way. Listen to me, if you don't feel like it, no one should have the right to make you do something that you don't feel like doing." Lying vanities. Wow. Is that something that might be taking place today? How about this one? Lying vanities. How can it be wrong if it feels right? If it's a lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, why, if it feels right, why not do it? Maybe because God says it's wrong. And God warns us not to go by feelings. God warns us not to go by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He said these are all tools that the devil uses to get us to go opposite the direction that God wants us to go. Lying vanities. In the end, you'll find that going that direction is empty. Having whatever you lust for, when you finally get it, it's not what you thought it would be. And now you're so much farther away from God, you don't have a peace. You go by the lust of the flesh, it will never be what you think it's going to be. There will always be another carrot of the flesh out in front of what you've already done to try to get you to go a little bit farther. Feelings can change in one second. The feeling of love can change to the feeling of hate over one word. No. That child that said they loved you, now they hate you. Now, do they really hate you? No, but they're feeling like they do. Because you rejected them. You told them they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And they didn't care why. You just said no. And you're trying to prevent them from having fun. You're trying to keep them from fitting in with the rest of the world. And in their hearts, they don't understand it. So when they said, "I love you," hoping to get a yes, and you said no, then that feeling of love changed to a feeling of hate. That's why you can't go by feelings. Facts are found in the Bible. God's will never change. Amen. It won't. Lying vanities. Somehow Jonah justified running from God. He might have said, "Why me? Send somebody else." lying vanities. He rejected. And then Jonah's personally designed trial begins. You see, when you've made the wrong decisions and you're fleeing from God, if you're God's child, He loves you, He's going to work in your life to bring you back. And many times the trials are designed to bring you back. The trials are designed to give you another chance to come back and do what God originally told you to do. Don't have time to study all of it, but Jonah tries to ignore it, first of all. He gets in a ship going opposite God's direction, and God sends a tempestuous storm, winds. What's Jonah doing in the midst of the storm? He's down in the very bottom of the ship, ignoring what's taking place, thinking that if he doesn't see or hear it, that he can get by with it. And he's trying to sleep. And the whole time the wind, the waves are blowing, the storms, they're saying, this is not God. It's not God doing this to me. It's not God sin. It's not because I'm not doing the will of God. Listen to me. It's not God. It's just circumstances. It's just this and it's just that. And these trials and this is going on and I have no peace. I have no joy. And this has happened. I'm just going to ignore it. It's not God. But it is God. Stop ignoring your circumstances of trials. If you're running from God, listen to me. God has designed the trials for you. He knows how to get to you. He's God. So they come down, they get Jonah up, and they said, wait a minute, what are you down here sleeping when everybody is fearing for their lives? Who are you anyway? Forces him to acknowledge the fact, I'm a servant of God's. And he goes from trying to ignore it to then saying, I don't even want to live. I've made such a mess of my life. Throw me overboard. I want to die. Is that really the solution? Kill yourself? Stop living? That was not the solution, but that's exactly where he was. And can I tell you, that's exactly where the devil would love to get you. As that thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Throw me overboard. Designed by God, they throw him overboard. And then the middle of the trial is when he thinks he's going to die, it's all going to be over. No. There's a whale there. Is there a whale in your life? I can't commit suicide. I just can't get myself to do that. I don't know what to do. And there's a whale that just swallows you up. Now you're in the belly of the whale. Well, there's two ways out. In your belly, there's only two ways out. If you die, he could die in the belly of the whale, and you know how he's getting out that way. Or you could look to God, and God could speak to the whale. Because it's God's design, plan, to vomit you out. The only other way out. What did Jonah do? Chapter 2 tells us exactly what Jonah did. The first thing that he did, he communicated with God. No matter where you find yourself, can I tell you that God's love for you has not changed? No matter what you've done, no matter how far away you might be, no matter what your circumstances, can I tell you that God sent His Son to die for you? He loves you. And if you're still breathing, there's still hope. There's still hope. Communicate with God. Go back to the beginning to understand who God is and who you are in relationship to who God is. Communicate with Him. How do we communicate? God has given us a tool to communicate with Him, and it's called prayer. Get in your prayer closet. Shut everything else out around you and focus on God and His will for your life. He has a will for your life. He communicated with God. He acknowledged that he was wrong. Had to come to the place where once you're communicating with God, then you say, God, have a sorrow for sin. Confess sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess sin. God, you were right all along. I was wrong. What led me to be now in the belly of the well, everything I did up to this point, I've been wrong in every decision. I was wrong to not appreciate the opportunity I had to serve you. I was wrong to run. I was wrong to try to hide out in the belly of the ship. I was wrong to even want to die. God, every decision I've had since that time, I've been wrong and you've been right. Confess. Look to God. Confess your sin. Be thankful for God's mercy and His grace. If you're alive, you still have opportunity to call upon God's mercy and His grace. His mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. Jonah deserved to die in the belly of the whale. He did. The Bible says, let me share this with you again. In verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But God is still merciful. Be thankful for God's mercy. At some point in that prayer closet, start thanking God for His love for you. Start thanking God for all that He has done for you. Start thanking God that you didn't die in the ocean. Thanking God that you didn't die, that you weren't going to die in the belly of the whale. Start thanking God. Get a mindset, an attitude of gratitude and being thankful to God for whatever it is that He's done. Whatever good that's come into your life, it's because of God. Be thankful. Then pay what I have vowed. Be determined to do God's will for your life. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. If you'll do that in the midst of that well's belly that you find yourself in, God will do this. Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah exactly where God wanted him to be, close enough to make it to Nineveh upon the dry land. And chapter 3 and verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. What God did, what the trial was designed to accomplish, is to get Jonah back to where he needed to be and give him a second chance to do the right thing. Listen to me, you might find yourself so far away from God because of the decisions you made. If you'll do what Jonah did in the belly of the whale, you'll find yourself with God's blessings upon your life and giving you, because of His grace and His mercy, an opportunity, a second chance to do the right thing. But you have to do it. No one could have done it for Jonah, and no one can do it for you. But we have Jonah's testimony of what he did in the belly of the whale that brought him the salvation that he would experience. It'll work for you as well. It will. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.